Greetings this morning again, Brother Steve with the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. Like I said, we're going to be talking about holiness this week, and especially about the holiness of God, and want to just look at some of the attributes of God, who God is. Yesterday we read a little bit out of a book by A.W. Tozer, The Knowledge of the Holy, and we saw how the importance of having a right understanding of God and knowing what God is like and how that affects every area of our life. So this morning we're going to continue with that, some of that thought. We're going to look at some attributes of God. What is God like? What is holiness, first of all? And I have a little bit of a definition here that I got from the Webster's Dictionary. Holiness: properly, whole, entire, or perfect in a moral sense, hence pure in heart, temper, or disposition, free from sin and sinful affections, applied to the Supreme Being, holy signifies perfectly pure, immaculate, and complete in moral character. And so holiness, basically, it's the highest level of purity. It is perfectly pure. There is nothing defiled in it. If something is in God is perfectly holy, and so God cannot sin, God cannot lie. God is always truthful, God is always perfect, because God is holy. And so God desires for us to be holy as well. And so we're going to start maybe with the creation, just looking at creation as an example of God's holiness. And maybe specifically the fact that the power of God's word and the fact that God cannot lie. So we begin in Genesis chapter 1, and we see there how chapter 1 through 22 or something like that. We have, actually maybe it's 25. We have the account of the creation, and I'm just going to read some of it. I'm not going to read all of it, but it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." So there we see how God, the power of God's word. Next it says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament, and the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so." And then verse 9, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." And then all the way down, verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, and upon the earth. And it was so." So we see this pattern in God's creation. God said, and it was. And also, we could look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. It talks about how he cannot lie, and that's kind of on a different subject, speaking of salvation. But it's the idea there is that God is perfect, and he cannot lie. Chapter 1, verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." So we have God, he is perfectly holy, he is perfectly pure. And so whatever God says is true. God's word is powerful. We could also look at 1 John chapter 1, not 1 John, but the Gospel of John chapter 1. And we could look at what it says there about creation. And or about the Word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So there again we have the Word of God, which is, it's basically what you could say is God's Word is the ingredient, it's the substance by which creation is made. And even some places you will read the idea, I don't know where it is, where it's built on God's Word. It's God's Word holds it. I think it's in Peter, it talks about it sustains it, it keeps it. It's kept by the Word of God. I think that's, if I remember right, that's in Peter. So we see that God, whatever God says, happens, and God's Word is powerful, perfect. God cannot lie. And so we could also look at look at Proverbs and some of what Proverbs has to say about words. You know, we are made in the image of God. Of all of God's creation, we are the only thing that has eternal life. We're the only creature that has that communicates. In words, you know, we have all the animals and the beasts of the field, and yes, they have their way of communicating, but they do not speak. They don't have a language where they talk like we talk, like humans. And so we are made in the image of God, where we are also given words to speak. We have a language, and we talk to one another. We communicate one to another. And we communicate with God. And so Proverbs has a lot to say about our words. And I think that's very important as we look at God and how powerful God's word is. And I think it would do us well to also look at our own lives and see how powerful our words are. And maybe we could be a little bit more careful with what we say. I would be interesting to do a study throughout the whole scripture. I only did the book of Proverbs, and I found the word words, plural, appeared 39 times in the book of Proverbs alone. And so it's very important, has a lot to say about we could start with Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 and following, 20 to 22 or something. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? The scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, unto you I will make known my words unto you. Words used there in a good sense. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So here again, he's saying to his son, listen to my words, hear what I'm saying, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Just think about how powerful words are, and what, every one of us can think of, quote, something somebody said in our, either to us or just a quote that they said to somebody else, or we heard them, overheard them say, or maybe it was in a sermon or whatever it was. We can all, I believe, think back to something, some words somebody said that had a tremendous effect on our life, whether it be for good or for bad. And I think we can probably most of us can remember some of both sides. You know, whether of the good and the bad, where somebody said something and it impacted our life for good or for bad, and we still remember it. So think about the power of our words. And there's a lot of verses in here in Proverbs that I could go to. I'm just going to kind of get a little bit of a sampling. Like I said, it appears about 39 times in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 2, verse 16. Well, I could start a little bit before that. But basically it says, verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the God of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her path unto the dead. And so here we have it in the negative sense, where the strange woman that flattereth with her words, she uses words to ensnare the young man. Powerful. Cannot underestimate the power of our words. And then we have chapter 4 and verse 4. Let's start ahead a little bit here. Ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. That could also be implied as being words. To hear the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrines, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Very powerful. He says, you know, again, talking about let thine heart retain my words. He's speaking words to his son. He's admonishing him. He's giving him instructions and giving him instructions for life. And it says, keep my commandments and live. Very powerful. Chapter 6 and verse 2. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with thy with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. And again, it's something that, it's a word that you spoke, and you were ensnared by something you said. Very powerful. Chapter 7 and verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Again, speaking of the words. Chapter 10 and verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Chapter 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. 16 verse 24. It's starting to... I could start, let's say, 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. And then verse 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know, we have... I think it actually says that. Yes, it says that. I think we could go to James would be another good place to go, where we could look at the power of words. There is the power of life or death in your words. And we cannot underestimate that. Be careful what we say, lest we be speaking a curse. 18 verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. You know, I find that verse interesting. It says the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. When we think about deep waters, oftentimes deep waters are a place where it is still. Deeper waters are usually more still waters. They're not rushing through like a brook. And so sometimes when water is still, it can be still in a sense that it's warm, it might be dirty, it might be muggy. But then we have, it says, the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. When we think about that deep water and this flowing brook coming in here, bringing freshness to it continuously, that's the wellspring of wisdom, bringing freshness to your words. Chapter 23 and verse 12, I think we're about done here. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. And then 29 verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than of him. Again, just really a powerful warning of our words and how important it is that our words be, as it says, seasoned with salt. How does it say I can't remember the exact words, but it says something about that in the New Testament somewhere. Anyway, just want to remind us how powerful our words are and the importance of being careful with our words and to be able to speak life. You know, the power of life and of death is in our words. And we want to speak life into each other. Not be talebearers or backbiters, but be able to encourage one another with our words, to lift each other up. God bless you.